gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio, Boomer Vision Edition. What's Boomer Vision, you ask? Well, I'll have to tell you after my shilling, because every day I come on this show and I shill for, first of all, RBN, because there would be no National Bugle Radio. Well, there would be, but you wouldn't be, you probably wouldn't be hearing it. We need RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. We need it for free speech. Most people wouldn't be hearing this show. I did have National Bugle Radio before I came to this. I brought it from YouTube. But guess what? YouTube shut me down. So there you go. If it wasn't for RBN, you'd probably only be able to listen to me through like BitChute, where I get maybe a couple dozen people listening to it that way. Or maybe BoomerChute, which is like some sort of mail order service where, you know, they'll send you my shows on Betamax tapes or something like that. Anyway, so support RBN. Support RBN, republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button. You can do it. And of course, the co-certified app. I always talk about it because it's always important. We need it. It is a template for everything that needs to be done. We got to get this. Once this is in everybody's phones, in everybody's laptops, and everybody's desktops, once we've got this, then the rest is simple. So let's get it done. Okay, Boomer Vision. What is Boomer Vision? I've done it once before, and I do a lot of things on the show. I do some experimenting, and not everything always works. I know that hurtling down the highway with Mark Collett last week didn't quite get the audio quality that was necessary, and it's a shame because that was a really, really good show. And for those of you who persevered and listened to it despite the unfortunate audio, I know you got a lot out of it, but some people, especially if you were listening to it with less than the best devices, which might have further degraded the audio. Well, anyway, but I do a lot of things. I've done Riding a Bicycle Edition. I've done Driving Through the Night Edition. Have I done Standing in Water Edition? I don't think I've done that. I do a lot of Standing in Water for Stormfront. But what is Boomer Vision? I think Boomer Vision is a great name for a radio show. Okay, Boomer Vision is Patrick Slattery yelling at the TV. So I watch Tucker Carlson, but I don't actually watch it on the TV because I don't get cable. Because it's a waste of money. You get 1,000 channels of nonsense. But I do have a TV, and I am a boomer, and so what am I going to do? So I'm going to yell at the TV. I turn on PBS NewsHour, and it's good. It's good because it gets me yelling. So let's hear how this works. Get some commentary on the day. You'll hear PBS NewsHour. It's kind of... Am I going to get sued by them for copyright infringement? I thought it was public. I thought it was public. I thought it was, well, let's hear what they say. What do they call themselves?
Well?
This program was made possible by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Okay, that's not public.
By contributions to your PBS station from viewers like you.
From fools like you. Contributions from fools like you. Goyim subsidized Zionist TV.
The president and his agenda under assault on two fronts. The U.S. withdrawal in Syria and the impeachment inquiry kept President Trump on the defensive today.
Okay, so I'm pausing just for a second. Usually it is the odious Judy Woodward who is behind the desk. But sometimes they give their listeners a break. And by the way, because of Judy Woodward, and I'm perfectly serious in this, because of Judy Woodward, I record this purposely in low definition. You know, it's on my DVR. And I could get it in high definition, but who wants to look at Judy Woodruff in high definition? I don't mean to be mean, and it's not an age thing because there's a lot of very attractive older women, but she's not one of them, okay? They have this this Pakistani lady who's actually, for PBS NewsHour, she's as good as it's going to get. She's all right. She's odious in her own ways. But Okay, so that's, what's her name? I don't know what her name is. She's a Pakistani lady. Okay, so she's going to tell us why President Trump is bad. So why is President Trump bad? Whoops. Why is, that hit the wrong button. Okay, it's a boomer thing. Why is President Trump bad?
He spent much of the day ignoring impeachment and insisting his shift in Syria was the right move.
Oh, gosh. That's why he's bad.
At the White House, President Trump, after meeting with Italy's President Sergio Mattarella, dismissed criticism of his withdrawal from northeast Syria and the ensuing Turkish incursion.
I'm not going to get involved in a war between Turkey and Syria.
The president then likened Kurdish fighters belonging to the PKK militia to the Islamic State fighters they helped the U.S. to fight in Syria.
Imagine him likening a group that's been on our own State Department, for what it's worth, their list of terrorist organizations for decades. Imagine him likening one terrorist organization to another terrorist organization. He should be impeached.
Now, the PKK, which is a part of the Kurds, as you know, is probably worse a terror and more of a terrorist threat in many ways than ISIS.
And he said more of a terrorist threat. ISIS is pretty much defeated. Frankly, not really that much help from the United States. It's defeated by Syria. But anyway, they're defeated. And PKK is not defeated. So is it a true statement that in many ways PKK would be a greater threat than ISIS? It sounds plausible to me. I don't know. Let's see what Bad Orange Man has to say about it.
Mr. Trump insisted he is making good on a long-standing promise to get U.S. troops out of long-running wars, and he played down fears that Russia will fill the vacuum.
Sir,
I hope Russia fills the vacuum. What's wrong with that?
Syria has a relationship with the Kurds, so they'll come in for their border, and they'll fight. They may bring partners in. They could bring Russia in, and I say welcome to it, Frank.
Good, welcome to it, exactly.
If Russia is going to help in protecting the Kurds, that's a good thing, not a bad thing.
Those words drew sharp criticism from a Trump ally, Republican Senator Lindsey Graham.
To rely on Russia and Iran to protect us against the rise of ISIS is, quite frankly, insane.
Well, I do declare it is, quite frankly, insane.
The president fired back at Graham.
Lindsey Graham would like to stay in the Middle East for the next 1,000 years with thousands of soldiers and fighting other people's wars. I want to get out of the Middle East.
And that's, you see, this is what we voted for him for. We did vote for him. I did, and this is what we voted for. And finally, he's doing it. Mike Pence, they show Mike Pence looking on with kind of a pained expression, but he's been loyal, hasn't he?
Still, the president dispatched Vice President Mike Pence and Secretary of State Mike Pompeo,
a.k.a. Big Gay Mike,
to Ankara this evening to press Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan for a ceasefire, a plan Erdogan dismissed before Turkish Parliament today unless the Kurds withdrew from the Turkish-Syrian border.
Operation Peace Spring will last until we go down to 30 or 35 kilometers along the line from Manbij to the Iraqi border, as we have previously declared. There is no doubt or hesitation about this. We will have no open doors on this matter.
Okay, by the way, that was Erdogan, and he's the president of Turkey, and he's speaking to, I guess it was the National Assembly, and you know what their symbol is? It's a light bulb, and it's not like a fluorescent, compact fluorescent or an LED light bulb. It's an incandescent light bulb. I had until now thought that was just a symbol of his party. I could see it being the symbol of his party. But that looked like the National Assembly, and he still had it on his rostrum. Is that what you call it? Podium? So pretty interesting, the light bulb.
All of this as President Trump's other critical challenge ground on, with another key witness testifying in the impeachment inquiry. Michael McKinley, a senior advisor to Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, abruptly resigned from his post last week. He was reportedly telling congressional investigators that his departure was driven by a concern over the treatment of former ambassador to Ukraine, Marie Yovanovitch.
Marie Yovanovitch, who, by the way, just happens to be a Jew.
She was recalled from her post in May amid agitation inside the White House that she was disloyal to the president.
imagine that. She's disloyal to the president. She was appointed by Obama when Joe Biden was nominally running Ukraine policy. Of course, it was really Victoria Nuland, another Jew. And who else? Who else? Who else might be a Jew involved
also
in this?
Also on the Hill today, a surprise second appearance from former U.S. envoy to Ukraine, Kurt Volker.
I'm not sure if he's
George
a Jew
Kent
or not.
Told lawmakers yesterday
but we'll
that
see.
Volker was part of a group that took over like the administration's Ukraine policy. Democratic Congressman Jerry Connolly said the group also included Gordon Sondland.
Gordon Sondland is a Jew.
The U.S. ambassador to the European Union and Energy Secretary Rick Perry. They allegedly dubbed themselves the Three Amigos. With back-to-back interviews...
Okay, now you're seeing Sheila Jackson Lee and Maxine Waters.
Nancy Pelosi said yesterday the House...
There's Adam Schiff standing next to Pelosi.
Today, House Republicans again accused Democrats of running an unfair process. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy said they're being denied access to closed testimony.
Scalise, who's still walking with a cane after he got shot a couple years ago by that.
And they denied members of Congress
whatever, for
a length the power and the voice of the American public to even read what goes on. They deny members of Congress from even the ability...
Okay, this guy's not worth listening to.
The investigation continues tomorrow with Ambassador Sondland...
Ambassador Sondland, I mean, talk about Jewish looking.
Both impeachment and Syria converged at a late afternoon
White House
meeting where Mr. Trump clashed with...
What a coincidence. All these people, and they're only like 2% of the population. There's Schumer.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
Pelosi's not Jewish, but she's got like a son-in-law who is. And then there's Steny Hoyer, who is not Jewish, but he represents a pretty Jewish, wealthy Jewish district in Maryland and is uber Zionist.
The president was a meltdown. Four more on the developments today and this week on the House impeachment inquiry. I'm joined by our own Yamiche Alcindor.
Okay, so here's Yamiche Alcindor. She's Haitian. She really, I hate to say it because I don't mean to be superficial, but she does kind of have a face like a hippopotamus. She's obese. And she's not really that, like, okay, I'm not on here because I'm articulate and have and always pronounce words right, but come on.
Well, President
she's on national TV.
To withdraw troops from Syria is really complicating the political landscape as he needs Republicans to back him and as Democrats are forging ahead with their impeachment inquiry. Today, as you noted, the White House had held a meeting with Republican leaders and Democrats.
Held a meeting.
And that meeting really went into chaos.
It really went into chaos.
Nancy Pelosi, as you said, said that the president had a meltdown. She also said that people should now pray for the president's health because he's essentially not really mentally stable. Chuck Schumer also said that the president was attacking Nancy Pelosi, calling her a third-grade politician. The White House, though, is pushing back on that. The White House is saying that President Trump was actually very measured and that Democrats walked out of the meeting and that they didn't really get the work done that they were there to have. But all
get the work done that they were there to have.
Trump is feeling very, very anxious about the fact that the House overwhelmingly voted in a bipartisan way to condemn his actions in Syria.
Yeah.
In that meeting we just talked about was
his actions in Syria.
The White House also late today. You got your hands on a letter that President Trump sent to President Erdogan of Turkey. Tell us about what was in that letter and what kind of response it's
getting,
especially
in the letter.
For members of the president's own party.
Well, again, the president is really alienating and angering Republicans at a time when he critically needs Republicans on the Hill, in the House and the Senate to be on his side because of this impeachment inquiry. I want to read what the president released today. It's a letter to the president of Turkey dated October 9th. It says in part, "Let's work out a good deal. It will look upon you forever. History will look upon you forever. As a devil, if good things don't happen, don't be a tough guy. Don't be a fool." So that's President Trump really trying to give...
President Trump being President Trump.
I'm being tough on Turkey here. Now, Republicans who also were in that meeting at the White House are backing up the president. Kevin McCarthy was saying that the president was actually trying to get things done and that Nancy Pelosi...
Okay,
really
blah, blah, blah.
...politicizing the meeting. But
okay, I had to pause and fast forward because I just can't take it anymore. Okay, who's next?
Bipartisan anger there. Nick, step back.
Okay, now she's talking to this young Jewish guy, Nick Schifrin, who's their main guy on international affairs.
It's
like 30-something-year-old Jewish guy.
Yeah, I think Congress reflects a kind of national security consensus that we've seen largely since 1945, since the end of the World War.
1945? What happened in 1945? Oh, God! Was that when the Holocaust ended? So since 1945, a bipartisan consensus in Washington on endless wars for Jews.
Since the end of World War II, that the U.S. should play a leading, if not the leading role in the world, and that the U.S. military is a key tool in order to pursue...
That's the bipartisan consensus. Although, honestly, in the 1940s, it wasn't a bipartisan consensus. The most important Republican in the late 40s was Robert Taft. He never won the nomination, but he did run for president. And he was called Mr. Republican, and he was an isolationist. This was a major element of American foreign policy. And there were isolationists in the Democratic Party, too. So this bipartisan consensus on endless wars, it took a while to develop. But let's hear what this Jewish guy has to say.
The U.S. military have bases in over 70 countries. Now, President Trump referred to that number today, and not in a good way. And he criticizes and fundamentally questions the idea of how the military has been used, and he advocates for the restraint of the U.S. military.
Oh, God, the restraint of the military! So, and of course, there's probably sacred bases in a lot more than 70 countries. But let's just say 70 countries, okay? So we have the military in 70 countries, right? Now, all these people are freaking out because somebody in Russia who might have links to the Russian government spent $40,000 on Facebook ads. Okay, $40,000 on Facebook ads, and that's an attack on our democracy. That is an act of war. Beto O'Rourke yesterday said they invaded our democracy. They invaded it. Now, to have U.S. military in 70 different countries, well, there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing to see here. That's not aggressive. That's not meddling. That's not meddling. Facebook ads, oh my God!
How it's deployed and where it's deployed. And he gave one of the most clear explanations of a kind of Trump doctrine, a kind of grand strategy, when, as we saw a little bit of in your piece, when he was responding to criticism by Senator Graham.
When I ran on a basis we're going to bring our great soldiers back home.
Yes, he did. That's what he said.
We don't have to fight these endless wars.
That's what he said.
Lindsey Graham would like to stay in the Middle East for the next 1,000 years with thousands of soldiers and fighting other people's wars.
And, you know, that's true. Of course, of course. And the only reason Lindsey Graham has been defending Trump for the past, half year or something, or past year, I guess since the Brett Kavanaugh hearings, is because he knows he's up for re-election, and in South Carolina, the people who he needs to... I mean, South Carolina's got a lot of black people in it who aren't going to vote for Lindsey Graham or Trump. But all the people that Lindsey Graham's depending on to vote for him are Trump people. They are Trump voters. They don't... So Lindsey Graham... But Lindsey Graham, yeah, he just wants endless wars, and he says that withdrawing from Syria is insane. Okay. Come on, President Trump, you're on a bit of a roll. Let's hear what you have to say.
The people of South Carolina don't want us to get into a war with Turkey, a NATO member, or with Syria. Let them fight their own wars.
And by the way, President Trump is not the only one making that argument. Last night, Senator Elizabeth Warren, Democratic.
Not really. No. You see, this is how they distort things, because it was Tulsi who doesn't want to get in these wars, and she pressed Warren to agree with her. Why don't you call for an end to these regime change wars? That's what Tulsi said, and Elizabeth Warren would not agree. She says, yes, we should get out, but we have to do it the right way, the smart way, which means, I guess, the Lindsey Graham way. So, why is he building up Elizabeth Warren as some sort of peace candidate? Because he knows the viewers actually want peace, and they will believe that she's the peace candidate, just like they believe that Bernie Sanders was a peace candidate, and vote for him and hate Donald Trump, who's actually trying to bring them home. Okay, I'll be back after the break.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
OMG! People are jumping on board to the Life Change Tea Regiment. Brew, steep, and drink for a gentle, taste-great cleanse. It's changing how they feel. See what everybody's talking about. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Life Change Tea aids in digestive slowdown and helps people get moving down a healthy path. We won't make claims. We'll just let you decide. Experience is much better than a commercial anyway. If you want results, log on to GetTheTea.com and purchase your Super Strength Cleansing Tea. You won't be disappointed. And if you're looking for some mind-body suggestions, go to YouTube and punch in the search bar Health Matters Now. That's Health Matters Now. Put power into your health now. So, GetTheTea.com, that's GetTheTea.com for Super Strength Tea. And YouTube, Health Matters Now. That's Health Matters Now for valuable suggestions. GetTheTea.com, the tea that makes you go.
Welcome back to Boomer Vision, a.k.a. Patrick Yells at the TV. So, this is what I do every night. Well, here we go. Let's listen to this young Jewish guy, Nick Schifrin, say that Trump is bad and retarded for withdrawing troops, but then pretending that Elizabeth Warren agrees with him when she doesn't.
Candidate for president also said, hey, look, the U.S. should come out of the Middle East.
So we're hearing the president say, I ran on this. This is what I promised I would do. This is my foreign policy. But the criticism he's facing isn't just coming from members of Congress, right? It's coming from other government agencies, too.
From largely within his own government because of that foreign policy consensus, the military, the State Department, intelligence officials.
Yeah, that's his own government, or those that's the deep state that he's never gotten. And, you know, he's made lots of mistakes. I'm not here to say he hasn't made lots of mistakes, but he could have appointed better people. But the military, State Department, the intelligence community, these are the people that are trying to overthrow him. They've been trying to overthrow him. Didn't you just show in the last section all these people from the State Department who are trying to overthrow him, and they're going to Congress and they're testifying behind closed doors about how bad he was and that he had the nerve to try to fire an ambassador when, of course, ambassadors serve at the pleasure of the president. So, here you go. Let's hear this young Jew talk some more.
I talk to all advocate a policy that they say Syria is a perfect example of, right? It is a small military footprint all over the world, and that those small military special operations forces largely will be training local forces.
Yeah, that's not meddling. That's not meddling. Facebook ads. Oh, my God. That's an invasion.
Of sending 100,000 troops, for example, to Iraq and Afghanistan, and these people believe that Syria was a good version of it, and also that it was sustainable.
Yeah, it was a good version of it because it caused a massive civil war with millions of refugees with a great excuse to head into Europe. That was a good example of it. And sustainable? Yeah, it was sustainable. Look how long it's gone on. 8 years. 8 years of that. Very, very sustainable, I think.
They also argue it's necessary because if the U.S. is not in places like Syria or Afghanistan, then there could be vacuums. And in those vacuums, terrorists could plot attacks against the United States.
Okay, so, I've mentioned he's a Jew. Did I mention he was a Jew? This is really, really Jewish thinking, okay? If we're not completely dominating and controlling everything, they're going to plot to get us, right? Complete paranoia, delusional paranoia. So Nick Schifrin grew up in, I think, California in a wealthy Jewish family. Look at the Old Testament. Look at European history. Look at 20th century. You know, it's you can see all. I mean, I'm not the biggest biblical scholar. I know a lot of people on RBN know a lot more about the Old Testament than I do. But look, it's very paranoid. And it's all about smiting enemies. And look at the holidays. Look at Hanukkah and look at Passover and look at Purim. And they're all about smiting their enemies, these enemies. Did it really happen? Did this stuff really happen? So they say, oh, well, the Persians were about to genocide us, so we killed them all. Oh, well, the Pharaoh was, he wouldn't let us go. Well, of course, we hardened his heart, or we had God harden his heart, but then we got God to genocide all of the Egyptian oldest sons, so... weird, paranoid stuff. But, if you study genetics and evolution, because I don't know how many people in the United States actually accept evolution. I think it's very, very few because a lot of them reject evolution because of religious reasons. And the others who pretend to accept it actually reject it. They pretend to accept it because they hate religion, but they actually reject everything because it would be racist, because it would say people are different. And, you evolve based on adapting to your environment. Well, the thing about humans is humans create their environment. They have been since civilization. We're creating our environment. And the Jews have created a very, very paranoid environment for themselves, an environment in which the paranoid thrive and the paranoid rise within society and reproduce. And those who aren't paranoid, they don't like living around the other Jews, and so they'll run off and live with the goyim, and they've become increasingly paranoid. And this is a prime example of paranoid Jewish thinking, that we've got to have military in all of these countries, and we've got to train them to... What do we have to train them to do?
One last critique that I talked to, that I heard from people who even argued for restraint today, and they said if you're going to restrain the U.S. military, you need to reduce the budget for the U.S. military, you need to increase the budget and kind of focus on the State Department, the diplomats, the intelligence agencies, and they say that President Trump has increased the Pentagon budget and decreased the State Department budget.
Whatever. Okay. So the point the guy had made, maybe I was talking over it, was that we have to have these people promoting American interests. And, of course, American interests when America is occupied Zionist territory is Jewish interests. I'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations. A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Boomer Vision with Patrick Slattery. Patrick yelling at the TV. I have to admit that I had actually sat down. I'd watched this before. I'd sat down, I was watching it, and I thought, you know, I ought to do a Boomer Vision on this. And so I went up and I got my recorder and I started recording. I haven't watched the rest of the show, so I'm not sure what's going to come. So who knows what I'll be yelling at. But let's hear this young Jew, Nick Schifrin, be paranoid some more.
President Trump says he just got a different worldview.
Some inherent tensions there. Yamiche, back to you. Meanwhile.
Yeah, Yamiche is the Haitian hippopotamus lady.
The inquiry continues. There are still a number of officials appearing on Capitol Hill and testifying as part of that probe. Who else do we know was on the Hill today, and what do we know about what happened there?
There was some critically important testimony going on the Hill today related to the impeachment inquiry. Michael McKinley, as you noted, was here on Capitol Hill in D.C. talking about what he thinks was the unjustified removal of the former ambassador to Ukraine. Sources tell me that he said that diplomats were being mistreated.
Okay, so to remove an Obama-appointed diplomat, see, all diplomats, all the ambassadors, and she's talking about this, what's her name, Voidovich, or whatever her name was, Marie Vodanovich, I think is the name. And, you know, she's some Jewish appointee of Victoria Nuland and Joe Biden and Obama. And, yes, she was undermining. First of all, I don't know if she had submitted her resignation when Trump took over. She's supposed to. And I wouldn't be surprised if she did submit it and they just let her stay on. But still, they can replace her anytime they want. And when I say the president. The president. She is the ambassador for the president of the United States, that it is the executive branch of government. And so it's not unfair to dismiss her. All right, let's hear what Hippopotamus Liddy has to say.
Under President Trump's administration, he also says that people's careers were being upended because of political reasons, I'm told by sources.
The State Department is super politicized, and the State Department is part of this deep state coup d'etat against Donald Trump, and they're undermining his foreign policy. Frankly, of course, I mean, he could have done a better job appointing people, you know, bringing in Pompeo and Bolton. Doesn't speak too well for his decision. You know, he met with Tulsi Gabbard right after the election in November, and I know I wrote an article saying that he should offer her either Secretary of State or Secretary of Defense. And Eric Stryker, we did, and Mark Dankoff and I, all in those first few weeks, we were calling for Tulsi Gabbard to be appointed. Now, probably what would have happened, odds are good that he would have chewed her up and spit her out, and then she'd be a former whatever. Who knows what would have happened. But the fact of the matter is, he wound up appointing, for the most part, people like Nikki Haley and Mike Pompeo. Tillerson was probably okay, and Flynn was probably okay, but they didn't last long. So there you go. Anyway, let's hear what this lady says.
Said, we're going to see more of this. Gordon Sondland is supposed to be coming to the Hill tomorrow to testify
to
the current ambassador to the European Union. Now, he is someone who is seen as an ally to President Trump, but at the same time, these testimonies have really been surprising in a lot of ways, so it's going to be important to really watch that. Also, Bill Taylor, he's a career official who's still working at the State Department, but he's the person who sent that text message that said he thought it would be crazy, quote-unquote, to withhold aid from Ukraine.
Crazy to withhold aid from Ukraine. And what is this aid? This aid is military aid. So it's crazy not to send weapons to a country that is ruled by corrupt oligarchs, Jewish corrupt oligarchs, who are in kind of a proxy war with Russia. I mean, why is it crazy? It's crazy to be involved over there. And by the way, the State Department, here's something that Stephen F. Cohen, and he brings up the point that what foreign policy success has the State Department had in the past, oh, I don't know, 50 years? What success has there been? There haven't been any. Our foreign policy has been a complete disaster. So, I mean, usually we're talking about the military stuff, but what about the foreign policy? Has our foreign policy kept us out of those wars? No. What else has our foreign policy done? It goes and overthrows governments, you know? So the Ukraine, the overthrow of Viktor Yanukovych, in the democratically elected president, overthrown by whom? Was it by the military? No, it wasn't. It was by the State Department and the CIA, which work hand in hand. And so, yeah, you had Victoria Nuland literally over there with the ambassador to the Ukraine, and they're literally handing out sandwiches to the demonstrators that were cajoled, enticed into coming out in the Capitol and driving Viktor Yanukovych out of office. It wasn't just the demonstrators. You had people shooting. You had snipers shooting. And according to a conversation that was intercepted, a cell phone conversation between Catherine Ashton, who was she's a British lady who was the EU's foreign minister, and either the prime minister or the foreign minister of, what was it, either Latvia or Lithuania, I can't remember, but one of those Baltic states. It was intercepted, and the Baltic state guy was saying that, oh, you know, those snipers, those were third parties. That was not from the government. That was from third parties. Basically, like, either, you know, Mossad, probably. And Catherine Ashton was, oh my, well, that changes things, doesn't it? But, okay, let's hear this hippopotamus lady again.
For political reasons, he was concerned about that. He is now going to be coming to Capitol Hill next week to testify, so these are all things that we need to watch. As the president continues to be very, very angry about this impeachment inquiry, and really is...
I'm angry about it, too.
to hurt his presidency and not to look into actual wrongdoing.
And that's exactly what it is. That's the whole jeu d'etat, okay? They're not going to remove him from office this way. They don't need to remove him from office because they completely tied his hands for the past 2 years and, 9 months? But this past week, it's been good. Trump has shown a little bit of independence here. And he has shown independence from time to time. It's just never been consistent. Firing Mattis was a big deal. Firing Bolton was good, and that wasn't that long ago. And maybe he's gonna start finding his backbone. I don't think he came into office and he didn't know how to rule. And you could question his intentions. You could question a lot of things. But this business about getting out of Syria, in spite of everybody being against him, not just Congress, not just the military, but is everybody around him, all the people he appointed, they're all against it, and he's doing it anyway. And that's a big deal. And he's being attacked from all sides. Tulsi's given him a certain amount of credit. I'd like her to give him more credit, frankly. I know it's tough when you're running for his job and you're running for in a Democratic primary, but let's give some credit where credit's due.
Okay, here in Washington, you have Michelle Sindor and Nick Schifrin on top of it all. Yeah. Thanks to you both.
All right, I don't know what they're going to be doing next. It's probably not going to be worth anything. Giuliani tells NewsHour, PBS NewsHour, his work in Ukraine is intertwined with his work as Trump's personal attorney. Each segment, they show some little, often it's a fun fact, or it's a headline from PBS NewsHour Online. So, okay, let's see what they're going to do next. If it's not going to be interesting, we'll do something else. Come on, hurry up.
In the day's other news, General Motors
on strike. I'm not interested. All right, I'm going to pause for a second, and we'll see. Okay, well, I'm back. So, Boomer Vision. Like I say, I watched Tucker's show on my cell phone. The audio is not as good. I watched it. I'm not going to do the Boomer Vision routine with it, but I do want to talk a little bit about it. In general, I think Tucker's the best guy on TV. But, there's some things I don't agree with him and some things about his style I don't like. I still think he's maybe... I don't know. He's one of the best things that's happened to a TV in a long time, and I always despised him, but now I've become a pretty big fan. He had Tulsi Gabbard on tonight, and this is something you are seeing. So Tucker Carlson, and of course you're seeing a lot of the alt-right figures. You're seeing David Duke, and you're seeing a lot of, and then of course Ron Paul. And then people on the left who have been supporting her, like Van Jones, the black guy who was Obama's green energy czar for the first year, a former communist, and Joe Rogan, who is like a pothead, kind of like former martial artist who has a very popular podcast, and some other people. But Tucker, he had on tonight, and that was good. But one of the things that bothers me about Tucker. Because he can't talk about the Jews, you could say he won't, but honestly, he's on Fox News. He can't talk about Jewish power on Fox News. So where is he going to direct his populist anger at? Because populists, they have to be angry. Okay, so he's angry at domestically. He's angry at the ruling class. Well, he won't say who they are, but they hate us. Okay, they hate us, but he won't say who they are. And then in terms of foreign powers, well, our ruling class is so anti-Russian, right? And the Russia hoax, and he's Russia. That's how he talks. If you've seen his show, when he's mocking them. So Russia's not our enemy. China is. What? Huh? What? Huh? Wait. What? So China. Because he can't talk about Israel. He can't talk about Israel. And so China, he makes this giant deal out of China, and he'll call them the fascist government of China. And so what does fascist mean to him? I guess it's just an insult. Because, China's fascist communist party, fascist communist party. So it's kind of weird. So he's very, very anti-China. And it's, you know, I will say make America China again. Why? Is it because I'm pro-Chinese? Actually, I'm kind of neutral to China. China does their thing. They can do their thing. And if they have a kind of naval domination over the South China Sea, oh well. You know, they have, you know, they, maybe the Philippines and Malaysia and Japan might have some issues, whatever. Is it really our business? Not so much. Those shipping lanes so important, whatever. You know, these other countries, I mean, Japan's a big, strong country. They can take care of themselves. So what is it? So he's got this thing about China. And then yesterday's show, the whole thing, like the first half of the show was all about the NBA and LeBron James, okay? Because why is it important? It's partly important because Tucker should just grow up and get over it. But he has this thing about China. And so we know that there are these protesters in Hong Kong. Well, if he took a look at the protesters are basically just like, they're kind of nerdy Antifa when you get down to it. Like, Antifa are like kind of like really gay and repulsive. When I say gay, I mean, I don't really mean gay. I mean transgender. They're like transgender and repulsive. The Chinese who are rioting are like, you know, they all wear glasses and they probably got really good grades in school. But for whatever reason, they're getting, if you know Hong Kong people, because I went to school with a bunch of Hong Kong people, and you know they are very nerdy. And of course, the Hong Kong people are kind of wired, even more like Chinese compared to say Japanese and Korean. The Japanese, I wouldn't call them laid back, but they're very polite, which keeps them restrained. They're not exactly laid back. The Koreans are a lot more aggressive, and maybe a lot more open than the Japanese. They're a lot more like aggressive and forceful with their personalities, but not obnoxious. The Northern Chinese are, I wouldn't even call the Northern Chinese exactly obnoxious, but they're not nearly as respectful of people around them as the Koreans, and not nearly as much as the Japanese, who are very respectful. The South Chinese, when you get down to Hong Kong, like I remember going to Hong Kong 30-something years ago, whatever it was, and you'd go, you know, you'd walk down the street and people would try to pull you in their shops because they wanted to sell you something. You know, oh, look at pants, only $15, you want? No. Oh, you get out! I mean, really super obnoxious. And yet, if you look at the work of Richard Lind, Hong Kong has like, you know, out of any country or city or whatever, it's got the highest IQ in the world pretty much. But they're really obnoxious. So anyway, maybe it's not that much of a surprise that they're throwing firebombs down, you know, into subways. It's a complete chimp out. It's a complete chimp out what they're doing. What was it all about in the first place? What it was about was the last spring, the Chinese government had this extradition law where they would be able to extradite. You see, because Hong Kong had been a British colony, and when it reverted to China in 1997, there was an agreement that for 50 years it will be one country, two systems, meaning that Hong Kong could keep its capitalist economic system, it could keep its administrative system, and it could keep its legal system. So the extradition was kind of this extradition treaty where China could extradite criminals and try them in Chinese courts. It was an infringement on that agreement, and the Hong Kongers, they demonstrated, and China gave in. But then they kept demonstrating because the State Department and the CIA have been provoking it. Well, anyway, so then some guy in the NBA does a politically correct thing. Some manager, I guess it was like a general manager of one of the teams, does a politically correct thing and tweets something about China. and Hong Kong, and why don't they let the Hong Kong people free? And then the Chinese government got angry, and they put sanctions on the NBA. Well, LeBron James was actually in China at the time doing some sort of exhibition game, and then he tweets something like, you know, you should think about your words. You have free speech, but you should think about your words because words have consequences. And he's absolutely right. He's not saying you shouldn't have free speech, but just think, you know, your words have consequences. So it has consequences to the violence in Hong Kong. It has consequences to the business, the monetary business of the NBA. LeBron James did nothing wrong, and I don't really care about sports ball, but according to people in the know, he's the best player ever, and he says stupid things sometimes, but he said nothing wrong. Okay, we will be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
We are right back. So the last segment I was talking about, Tucker. So Tucker has his show 15 minutes. The first 15 minutes, all they were doing is bad-mouthing LeBron James. And I didn't watch the end of his show tonight, but I know he brought on Dennis Rodman. I don't know what Dennis Rodman had to say. Actually, I'm going to pause and see what Dennis Rodman had to say. Dennis Rodman was in the NBA, and he's good friends with Kim Jong-un. And if Trump can get a peace deal, peace treaty with North Korea and South Korea, I think those three presidents plus Dennis Rodman should all share a Nobel Prize. Well, I don't think you can have it shared four ways. I think you can only have things shared three ways. But Dennis Rodman, well, maybe I'll change my mind. Let me hear what Dennis Rodman had to say. Oh, well, I looked on the internet and I can't find it. So that's the thing. You can't always find things. Well, so there you go. Like I said, it's a big deal because Tucker, he does some things. He goes off, like the China thing is the biggest. That's the worst thing he goes off on. He goes off against renewable energy, and he doesn't really know much about it. What else does he do? Sometimes, you know, he'll have people on, and this is something I think he could grow out of, but like he'll have somebody on who is trying to get, say, plastic straws replaced by paper straws, all right? And say, okay, well, how, you know, really, how much of a big deal is it? Most of the trash isn't produced by America. Most of the trash is produced by China. And most of the plastic around is, you know, it's not plastic straws. Don't you have anything? It's the thing is, don't you have anything better to do? Don't you have anything better to do? And here's the thing. Tucker Carlson has a national TV show. So Tucker Carlson does have something better to do, all right? Most people don't. Most people, they can get into a little cause, and it might be plastic straws, it might be something else, and they work on it to try to make the world a little bit better, all right? And you know something? Plastic straws, So when Mr. T and I are going around and walking in swamps, which we're apt to do, I sometimes say, you know, there's a lot of trash around here, and I'm coming back tomorrow. I'm going to bring a trash bag, and while he's sniffing around, I'm going to pick up trash. And I do. I pick up a lot of trash, to tell you the truth. I pick up a lot of trash, and it's, you know, it's mostly cans and bottles, and plastic bags are bad. The plastic bags are everywhere. But yeah, there are some plastic straws. And how much of a dent would the plastic straws make? Kind of a small dent. Not very big, but it's something. And if somebody wants to go after that, fine. Doesn't mean, like, you know, sometimes the amount of acrimony, the amount of bad feelings and everything. Yeah, people can go overboard on things, but, you know. All right. Well, that's it for Boomer Vision. I'm signing out. This is Patrick Slattery, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Boomer Radio.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.